Today's subject matter is not mine. As you guys know that can come to church here, we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the Word of God. And I am not picking on anybody in any way, shape, or form. I'm not looking. I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do, and it's going to be probably a first for me. I'm not going to name names. So I don't want anybody leaving here going, oh, Ryan said this about this pastor, Ryan said this about that church, because I will not. I will leave this up to you from the words that are in red in your Bible from our Lord Jesus Christ and give you the rest of the ways that we understand these things interpreted by Scripture. This, the continuing Sermon on the Mount, the continuing teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, he gave us these things so that those that believed would have an understanding of that which was going on. Because when you believe in the Lord Jesus and the Spirit comes inside you, you are then sealed by the power of the Spirit, and the lies of the enemy should not be able to twist you. Walking in the Spirit, as he is in the Spirit, you should be able to see the lies. You should be able to not twisted by the things that make confusion. At this point, you're like, get to the point. I will. Stay with me. I've got to set this up, though. It's extremely important. The teachings that we've been going through are directed at believers. They're directed at those who would have the Spirit to understand. If you don't know the Lord here, you might be a little discouraged today. Like, man, I want to hear some nice, I want to hear how great life is going to be. Sorry. Where we're at in Scripture, the Lord says in the 15th verse of chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I'm sorry, let me reiterate that. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Please give me your attention. The Lord says, I want you to be careful, because within the body of Christ, within what appears to be a church, you will find men and women who are looking to take advantage of you. In Luke 13:6, I made some notes, and all they are is scriptures. Please listen intently. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking the fruit and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, then you can cut it down. Let me explain something to you. Now, you guys have been going to church long enough. No, I am extremely down on large churches. I have seen no great thing come out of anything in this, what the Bible calls the age of apostasy. Fruit, he says over and over again, is how you tell. Well, here's the thing. Here's what happens. Fruit takes time. And in the meanwhile, waiting for fruit to come full developed, things might happen that look like the Lord. We have an extremely bad viewpoint of church in America. Matter of fact, we've permeated the whole world with our church ideas. Bigger is not better. Bigger church doesn't mean bigger God. More people doesn't mean more blessing. The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3 says this. I'll read it to you verbatim. God bless you. Please don't let me lose you. Stay with me. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. In case you don't know, the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation were letters written to the churches that were on the earth. From the Lord Jesus Christ to the church in the end times, his commendations and his condemnations. And he wants them to know where they are at in his eyes. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that they are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens and no one shuts, he who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. But you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall come out. He shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You can read chapter 2 also, same situation. Big churches, you're screwing up. You're ready to die. I'm about to remove your lampstand. Little churches, you're not weak. You just think you're weak because you've been lied to. Now, some of you guys might have a cynical mind here, and you might say, ah, you're only saying that because you got a little church. No, that's not true. I was a part of a really big church for a really long time. I left it because I started to see fruit. And you know what fruit I started to see? Let me tell you what I started to see in fruit. I started to see people going to church because people were going to church. I didn't see people coming to church to experience freedom, to experience conviction of sin. I didn't experience people who are broken for the Lord. I started seeing something that at the beginning was no longer there. I started seeing non-biblical practices of asking for money. You know what they did one service? I want you to write your name down in this card, okay? And I want you to write your name down. I want you to write your name down. I want you to write how much money you're going to donate to the church, okay? You don't have to do it, but we're going to keep it. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to put it all over the walls because we need a new building. Now, some of you guys hear that and you go, no, they did not do that at your church. Yeah, they did. And I sat there and I was like, what the heck happened to my church? Somebody want to show me that? I started seeing the pastor being exalted above all. To get a meeting with him, 3 or 4 weeks out, if the time is right, amongst the people. When he was amongst the people, it was a sighting. I saw so-and-so. It's not good, man. That's not good. Now, you could say, well, I bet it'd be different if your church was big. Yeah, maybe it would be. But let me tell you a story. There's a guy named Pastor Raz in Miami. Raz has been doing church now for about 28 years now. For 26 and a half years, he refused to let his church go beyond about 250 people. He refused to buy a building. A friend of mine, J.C. Conte, used to lead worship in our church, was his real estate agent. And he used to take him around a building, and Raz used, no. Don't, no. Look, Pastor Chuck said the best church, 250, 350 people, that's it. Stick to the word, stick to what we promised. No. Crazy thing happened, though. Just in the last 2 years, because there's another church, another big church down there that started off with all the right heart, they went berserko. They anointed a woman pastor, gay people in their movement, no problem. So people started leaving his church and going to Raz's church. Now Raz has got like 1,000 people in his church. But you know what? After 30 years, Raz is ready for it. And he keeps it small and he says, hey, this is the way it's been. I said, Raz, tell me how this works. He says, Ryan, I believe more than anything else in the sovereignty of God. And I've done nothing to make this church grow, zero, nothing different. All I have done is teach the word of God. And if God brings him, God brings him. If God doesn't, God doesn't. But what I will not do, nor will I ever do, is some church growth program. So when you guys call us up or ask us, hey, you want me to redo your website? And I go, no. Hey, you know, you guys should have a Facebook page. No. Well, at least you guys should have a sign out. No. Why? I don't want to grow that way. You invite your friends and family. And if they come here, I give them the word. If they get saved, let them go back to their home church. Or if they want to come here, great. I am not looking for a big church. It scares me. What man cannot be seduced by power? What man cannot be seduced by riches? One. And I ain't him. Well, you guys say, yeah, but they're doing so much of a bigger work. Yeah, I heard that lie too. It's called making disciples. Except when you look at the word disciples. The word disciples doesn't mean, hey, just say this prayer. Hey, you're good. Get going. You know what you should do? You should come to a class. If you come to a class and in 6 months, then we can put you in another class. And after 6 more months, put you in another class, we'll make you a leader. You could oversee your own church in a year and a half. Phenomenal. We'll call it a satellite church. That's what we'll do. We'll show a movie. Is that where they show the movies of that guy? No, I'm sorry. We don't show movies here. Well, what are those screens for? Just so you guys can see the words, so you can worship God and make the words your own. Why don't you put my, could you, Leah, can you put my face up there, please? The word disciples has the word discipline in it. And the intention is one person taking another person and disciplining him, discipling him, one by one by one. And that's how it's supposed to work. Yeah, but look at the fruit. That's the point. And here now, you might find yourself arguing with God on this part. Because God says that a good tree only does good fruit, and a bad tree only does bad fruit. So here's what you say. Well, you know how many people get saved in a weekend over at that church? I say, yeah, but if there's bad fruit, that means that those people that are getting saved are not good fruit to God. Or who are you to judge? I'm not to judge, but the Word of God says that. bad fruit. So what are you supposed to do? Listen, my pastor, for all his weaknesses, taught me something amazing. He said to me, a servant is no greater than his master. Your master cannot be me. It must be God. That way, if I ever go crazy or you ever see something from me, you need to skiddly-doot. You need to get out of here fast as possible. Problem is, by the time this whole thing worked around, they didn't want that no more. All the promises that we got about what they knew and what they didn't know turned out to be lies. But they got a bookstore, and I just love Christian books. They got a grill, and they hired the best cook. I mean, look, you go to a place, and they have everything you need in one city. Is that why you go to church? Then you came to the wrong church. Here I'm going to ask you to give. Give of yourself. To die to yourself. Here, if you come here, I'm going to tell you something. No self-indulgent. Because that is not the Christianity. Let me tell you something. All through Scripture, when God, when God got serious about wanting to make disciples, you know what he did? He watered the ground with the blood of the saints. And that is what made seeds grow. The blood of martyrs. The church is booming in the Orient. Booming in China. Here's what that means, and this is really good. He says, the Lord speaks about blotting one's name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's weird because we've always learned that once saved, always saved. And here's how that works, guys. At what point in time somebody is saved, that's on God. What people have used that for incorrectly is to say that God will erase their name, but here's what it means. When a child is born, he's from heaven. If you've ever smelled the baby, they smell like heaven. When you get to heaven, it's that fresh baby. Do you ever smell the side of a baby's head? That's what heaven smells like. Now, at some point in time, they reach what's called the age of accountability, where they then have to make that choice to accept Christ as Savior or not. Then God either writes their name in ink or blots their name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why I can boldly preach, you, God forbid, have a child that died. I, who have committed murder 5 or 6 times in the form of abortion, I say, God, you're so merciful. I can't wait to get to heaven and see my babies, the babies that whose faces I've never seen. And I can sit and tell a sister, sister, don't worry. God can forgive you. I've been there. God will forgive you. And when you get to heaven, the rejoicing will be greater than any of the pain you've ever experienced here. That's the blotting out that he's talking of. However, so people say, so that dude that you're so sure I'm speaking of that dude, but here's the problem. In our day and age, you don't know what dude I'm talking about anymore. Because every big church, here's what they start doing. Let's requisition the guy. Let's do this. You know what I mean? Guys, I make a good living. You know why? I work. I have a job. Same job 25 years. Almost more than that now. I just work. Well, aren't you looking to go full-time ministry? I've been in full-time ministry since I got saved. You know why? Because it's my whole stinking life. Ministry is what I do. One by one by one. Listen to this. 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writing, a letter to those who would maybe think about being in full-time ministry as what they thought. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Please, before I read verse 10, these men on the national scene that have recently been removed from their churches for their, let's see, what the word was it? Their moral failures. You see, if I screw around, you guys are gonna call me an adulterer. You're gonna say I'm a cheater. When you're really rich and popular, they call it a moral failure. And the reason they do that is so they can't get sued. However, when you have a moral failure, they give you a nice compensation package to the tune of $500,000 a year. Now, if I screw around with one of the girls that work in my office, the only compensation I'll get is a bullet in my rear end from my wife. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, of which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Peter the apostle said this, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed by covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodliness and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward will live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who is oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, speaking of these false prophets, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and they will utterly perish in their corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of a prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Please give me your attention. Dude, you sound mad today. I am mad. I am mad. I am mad as hell, and I am weary with holding it back. for some of us are so fooled. We're so fooled. We see the grandeur of the signs and the TV shows, and we think it's okay. And although the bad fruit is all around you, you're looking only for good fruit. And you're okay with it because you want to visit their Bible studies. You want to go to their prayer meetings. You want to go to their bookstores. Don't participate. Keep your family away from it. Bad trees only produce bad fruit. Be careful. Be careful when an organization claiming to be godly misappropriates funds, lies to congregation. And it's okay because he was a really good preacher. Such a nice guy. And some of you, even now, you say, dude, man, the Bible says he was without sin, let him cast the first stone. Yeah, exactly. So we didn't stone the guy. You know what I'm saying? He was talking about real stones, not words. The Lord Jesus himself said these things. I have not been reading you my words. I'm reading the Apostle Paul's words, Peter's words, John's words. What are you doing with these people? You're going to get caught up. It's bound to happen. Beware of these false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. What's cuter than a baby hiccuping? Listen, let me show you what he said. In the book of Mark, it's the last thing. We're going to move on right after this. I beat the horse down. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 said, what shall I liken the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus sandwiched in between two rebukes. He's speaking parables. And in between two rebukes is this little tiny proverb. There's this little parable. And he tells this little story, and I want you to understand where it comes from. Mark 4:30. Stay with me, please. The interpretation of this is sure. It's not a self-interpretation. What shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, sitting right there in between two hard rebukes, what is he saying? Please understand, here's what he's saying. The first thing is, the mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the forest, like some would say. The mustard seed grows in the Middle East, especially to a bush about this big. So what he's saying is the kingdom of God, sometimes freaky things happen in it. And for some strange reason, it grows up so big, it's a freak. And then the birds take shelter in the shade of its branches. In Scripture, the birds are only snatching up seeds, eating flesh. The only birds that are good in the Bible are the eagle's wings. But we don't see the Lord talk about that. So here's what he says. When you get a freak thing, like a big church, birds, they sit in the shade of those and they wait to snatch people up. Now you might say, well, the same thing can happen in small churches. Yeah, you're right, and it does. It absolutely does. But the whole idea in a small church is at least it's not splashed all over the front page of the newspaper, and God gets a black eye every single time that another pastor. I mean, I was going to do this crazy thing, and I'm just going to mention a couple of them. I printed out all the words, all the statements by all these big shot pastors and big shot, and I want to see their excuses. One of them was, nothing true has come out yet. Another one was, Well, my wife cheated on me, so I just wanted to get even with her, so I cheated back on her. Another one, this was great, is he left his wife and married his secretary immediately, all within a month, but his new wife made his anointing better. And you sit and you go, no wonder the world thinks we're a bunch of clowns. Because this is what they see. When I tell you, I ain't joking, I run from a big church as fast and as far as I can. I don't want nothing to do with it. I am not interested. This is perfect right here. I can do everybody's weddings and everybody's funerals and baptism. I can do the whole thing. No problem. Me and a few guys, we got it. And hopefully you stay here long enough, you grow your own stuff, go start your own church. And we'll join together. We'll hold arms together. Or you do a Bible study. But if I become so great and so polished as a preacher, and here's what happens. I do church so good that I think, Steve, instead of you starting a church, why don't you rent a little storefront and show a movie of me teaching here? And you, when the people come there, you can love on them, but don't teach the Bible because I'm a better Bible teacher than you. Now, does that sound like, is that like some of you guys going, dude, that's what they're doing? Hundreds and hundreds of satellite churches who take a pastor who's got the big smile and they rent a building and they show pictures, movies of him. And people go by the thousands. And I'm thinking to myself, am I nuts here? Am I out of my mind? I'm saying this to you guys. The Word of God is going forward, unadulterated, all-powerful, as it is today. And I'm asking you a question. Do these things sound crazy to you? Then somebody tell me how there's hundreds and hundreds of satellites with pastors showing movies of themselves. Are you serious? Do you think you are that special? And I love where he goes from here. Back to the word, please. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name? And I will put in parentheses in my own, wasn't I a great preacher in your name? Didn't I say really cool things? Didn't we have a great bookstore? Didn't we do wonderful marriage retreats and couples retreats, singles ministries? Yeah, why don't you guys have a singles ministry here? They got singles ministries in other churches. You need a singles ministry? Sorry. I thought that God put Eve right in front of Adam. God needs help. I understand. And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It was our Lord Savior. Jesus Christ said to the... This is so terrible and terrific all at the same time. This little rabbi looked at the establishment that was religion, and he looked at them and he said this, you travel over land and sea to make one proselyte. And when you do, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you. He's going to get emails. I wonder if he has a Twitter feed. People are going to say bad things. He's judgmental. How terrible is that? For a pastor who preaches these amazing, wonderful, polished messages, people coming forward. Listen, I got saved at a church where the pastor fell. I guess it wasn't so bad, but imagine I get saved and that dude winds up going to hell. That would suck. Now, you guys might be saying, are you trying to say that so-and-so is going to hell? I ain't trying to say nothing. I'm trying to say that there's a lot of people who are going to get before, and when they die and their heart beats at last, they're going to get before Peter or whoever it is and go, you want to tell me what you're doing here? Lord, Lord, didn't I preach messages? Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy? Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons? And he's going to say, I never knew you. You've been on autopilot for the last 15 years. You think I didn't know you were sleeping around? You think I didn't know you were a predator? You think I didn't know you were a ravenous wolf? You kidding me? But look how many people are getting saved. I mean, it was do as I say, not as I do. That's not what the Bible says, my friend. You have a $50,000 office in the back of your church. You have a makeup artist in a TV show. Guys, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know why we tape what is this for? What is this thing for? Why are we taping these? You think I really care? Do I think someday somebody's gonna uncover a whole treasure trove of my teachings and I'm going to change lives? What is that? How arrogant. What have we done to our church? It is so built into our heads, guys. We must escape it. It is so built in our heads. God is not in big. Please know that. Otherwise, Goliath would be the next king. One at a time. Didn't I say to you? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, now why is that therefore? Remember, whenever you see the word therefore, we must look back and say, okay, because the therefore is there, he was surmising. Now he's making a summary of everything he said. Okay, he says, I've given you the instruction. And you that have been here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you've gotten the instruction. What was the instruction? Ready? Prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, sharing your faith. Believer in Christ, these are the way. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Who is the rock of our salvation? Build your life on him. Not around him, not next to him, on the rock of his sayings. If you're married and you don't pray together, I don't know how you make it. I don't. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Guys, listen to me. Sometimes when a guy is really, really cool, when he's really, really good, when he's really, really attractive, the fruit takes a while. Plus, sometimes fruit can even go bad. Sometimes it takes 10 years before you know. It was Warren Wiersbe in his amazing book, True Worship, which I suggest highly. He said, some churches, you can pull the Holy Spirit out of overnight and nothing at that church will change at all. When you look at bad fruit and you start to see it, sometimes it's too late because you're already going to that church because all your friends are going there. And when people start going to church because people are going to church, you got a big, big problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't go to church because people are going to church. Go to church because you have come to the place where your life is broken, it's empty, and there's something about that place when you go there you just sense a spirit. You feel a peace like you've never felt, even though you're getting yelled at when you come here. Remind you of your upbringing or something. Now look at verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. He spoke the word without fear, in boldness, not like somebody who is just reiterating. He wasn't parroting. Rah, 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 rah. Rah, 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 rah. He said, listen, I'm telling you now, build your life on these things. Because if you don't, when a spam hits the fan, you're going to stink. And it's going to hit the fan eventually. Even if it takes 10 years. Even if it takes 20 years. Because let me tell you, the church that I grew up, the foundation that that church was built on, half them couples is split up. And we're scratching our head going, man, these were supposed to be like all, these are the people we idolized. Not them. This guy was like pastor's best friend, not them, that friend. Now listen, it happens in every church, every single church. But when it's in that great a number, you got to start scratching your head and you, man, something's going on here. Hey, could I get sit down with the pastor? Oh, 4 weeks out? Okay. Hey, could I find out how much that pastor makes? I can't, but I tithe there. Oh, it's private. I see. How much did they, when you start being met with roadblocks at your church about any information that you so desire, no matter what it is, that's the smell of rotten fruit starting. You can stick around because when it blows up, you'll smell just like that rotten fruit. And then you'll come here or you'll go to another little church and it just won't feel the same because they don't have a real charismatic guy up front leading the band. And they won't play secular music and masquerade it as spiritual music. Don't stop believing. You think I'm kidding? Maybe you guys don't know that that's going on, and I praise God for that. There's churches in our county, user-friendly, come as you are, stay as you are, no problem. Hey, what kind of car does that pastor drive? What kind of boat does he have? How many houses? Can't figure out why he don't relate to you anymore. Build your life on these things, because sure as the earth will see the sun come up tomorrow morning, the water's going to rise in your life. And unless you build it on the rock, it's going to be a great fall for you. You know what I'm saying? Let's pray. God, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you that your word is real. We thank you that in you we live and we move and we have our being. We thank you so much, God, that every tree that does not bear fruit will be dug out and fertilized. And if it still doesn't bear true fruit, it will be cut down and thrown in the fire. God, that scares us. Help us to check our own fruit, God. Help us to bear fruit that remains. Help us to remain attached to the vine. Help us, God, to see this thing all the way through. God, for that one person here, maybe more than one, who they're sure they know exactly who I was talking about and they're offended to the bone.
God, may it be your word that's offended them. May it be your word that helps break the hardness of their heart, that helps destroy the lies of the enemy and sets them free to live for you. God, we thank you so much for the simple, basic understanding that the way up is the way down. God, we love you. And we do, God. And I, Father, I pray now for the men in my life that I have seen fall. The pastors that so many years I followed and I idolized. God, I pray for them now that they would have true repentance. God, that their money would run out and their friends would turn their backs on them, God, that they would be broken to smithereens, that they would just look to you again. God, that they would come to you and you would heal them. Help them, all these men, all these things. The kingdom and the power and the glory of our God. Amen. Amen. Praise God.